For February 6th, 2006, it's the Lullabot Drupal Podcast. Yeah, well, we're getting a little bit more professional each time. I think we're starting to get there. What do you think, Matt?
Small steps.
Very small steps.
Is that your cell phone ringing, Matt? Do you need to take that?
Hey, Mom, can I call you back? All right, thanks.
Well, I'm Jeff Robbins.
And I'm Matt Westgate.
And it's the Lullabot Drupal Podcast. What did we say? February 6th, 2006.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to Vancouver and,
are you ready, Canada?
I'm going to do a lot of interviews. We're going to do a lot of interviews with people and talk to some people about what they're doing, in and with Drupal. And, I think it's just important for people to know, like, sort of what's happening, like kind of, especially people that are new to Drupal, to just kind of get it. You know, it took me a long time to understand what was going on, and I still very confused. So we're gonna go answer some questions and talk to some people about what they're doing. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. It should be fun.
How was your week? What'd you do? Did you do anything good and fun, or good or fun?
We got a new video cast up, the one we talked about last time.
Yes.
Primary links, menu system, all that fun stuff. I even got a little crazy and threw in some path aliasing. So all you need to know to build a site navigation system.
In other words, how to put your pages where you want them in the URL.
Yep.
And navigation as well, right?
Yep, that's
good stuff. A video.
Yeah.
Quick time.
For your viewing pleasure.
Video. Yeah, go get it. Go get it. If you're subscribed to the, depending on, you can subscribe to just the video cast, or you can subscribe to the audio podcast, or you can subscribe to both, or you can subscribe to everything on the Lullabot site. you can do all that. If you're in iTunes, it'll give you the videos. Although they're not video iPod compatible, are they? Because they're screen resolution, so that you can.
Yeah,
see
the screen's too small.
Yeah,
I tried to shrink it down to iPod, and you couldn't see what was going on. So
yeah.
If people want it, we can crunch it down.
I've been looking at the different modules out there. Right now we're just using like the story nodes, right? For podcasts and video casts and stuff. We're just attaching the file to it and it downloads as a RSS attachment, which is basically what a podcast is. And and that works pretty well. I've kind of been looking at the audio module, and there's actually a podcast module out there that somebody emailed me about that's not in the contributions repository. It's actually elsewhere, and so I'm trying to sort of figure out those. It looks like they might not be updated for the 4.7 version that we're using, so I'm going to have to ask around. When we get to Canada, I'm going to do some asking around, and we'll come up with it. Each week, you know, it's slightly tweaked, slightly better. Last week, we had all the video. Well, it was pictures in the podcast stream, and that was a little much. I think we're going to
there was some funny snapshots in there.
Yeah.
My wife suggested that we make flip books.
There you go.
People get a kick out of that with the pictures.
So you did the video. You've been doing a lot of work on the participate.net site, right?
Yeah, I have. We're trying to get that upgraded to 4.7.
Which, cool. They got nominated for 11 Oscars, right?
Yeah.
Participant correct. Productions. That's amazing.
11 Oscars.
And they're using Drupal.
Woohoo.
They love it.
What have you been up to, Mr. Spajax?
I know. I've been committing like crazy, trying to fix the bugs in the module that I just committed. the Spajax, man. A Scriptaculous prototype Ajax module for Drupal. I decided to split it off into, like, because it was just getting to be monstrously huge. So there's like a core SP Ajax module that basically has all the functions that you need in order to bring the Ajax and Scriptaculous crazy JavaScript animations and stuff to make your things fly around on the screen is one module. And then I also committed another one that kind of does the more fun stuff that actually makes the things fly around on the screen is called SP Magic Menus. And what it does is it allows you to use, I guess we're not supposed to use the word DHTML anymore, but JavaScript animation or something like that, to allow your menus, your navigational elements on the page, sort of the stock Drupal menu blocks, to expand to show the submenu items. So you don't need to reload a page every time you click on something in the menu. And it's
that
pretty,
comes in handy for the administrative interface.
It's one of those things that I really wanted in Drupal ever since I first started using Drupal. And I'm really glad to kind of put it out there. It also allows you to actually pop those menu blocks out of your page structure and make them as floating draggable elements, which is a nice thing for people who have, if you work with a designer that might not be very Drupal savvy, lots of times a problem that I have as a developer is finding a place to put the Drupal-y stuff in a theme. And so it's nice to be able to kind of pull the menu out and have it actually not be in the structure of the page. And also by kind of pulling it around on the screen, the administrators can still get a feel for what non-administrators might see, assuming that only administrators would have access to that menu, which is probably a good idea because, I mean, as you start to get more and more complex with the Ajax stuff and with JavaScript in general, you start sort of things start to get shaky with compatibility and who's going to be able to see it. So, but it's really cool stuff. I'm still doing a lot of debugging. It's kind of funny in Internet Explorer, but it works quite well in Firefox. And I have a couple of bugs that I have fixed and I'm going to commit tonight. So,
so can you take that? Does that just work for the administrative menu, or you know, say like you create your own sort of site navigation menu using menu module? Can I use your Spajax module for that? Or
yeah, the magic menus would be the one to do that. But yeah, it's pretty
cool.
Much it's any menu defined block. So yeah, all menu blocks that are made by the menu stuff. And I'm also sort of trying to figure out other stuff that people would want to be done with this kind of Ajax-y stuff. And so I'm looking for suggestions. And there's if you go to the project page for either of these modules, there's a link to the forum where you can just leave comments and suggestions and stuff like that, because it'd be great to throw around some ideas, because you get kind of late in the game and think like, oh, maybe people would want to float other blocks, or maybe they'd want to do other things. And so I find that sometimes the process of thinking about the possibilities of what a module could do and actually coding it are kind of like different parts of the brain. And so you sort of shift gears into the coding world, and then you kind of come out and go like, oh, I never even thought about using it this way. So
we need an Ajax team for Drupal. There's a lot of Ajax development going on, isn't there?
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping that some stuff will come out of the Ajax session in Vancouver, and at least people sort of get clear on the different modes that people are taking and stuff like that. I mean, like, I don't think that the Spajax stuff that I'm doing is really core material, because it doesn't necessarily degrade to everyone. And like I say, some of this stuff is really more for the admin interface, or maybe like a web application like Basecamp or you know, something like where you would have draggable things on the screen, but that's why people are coming there. And so you can sort of expect that of your users, as opposed to some like a, you know, site for a bank or, I don't know, just sort of a general purpose kind of thing where you need to be able to speak to the lowest common denominator. So, Ajax is not always Ajax, is sort of the disclaimer on it, but. We got a phone call
on the podcast line
877 Lullabot is where you can call if I think just it just works in the US and Canada and it's 877 585 5226. I've got
good
it memorized now. Thank you. So now I can call in and finally check the voicemail. But yeah, if you have a question, suggestion, or anything, you know, for us, we would love to hear what you want to hear about, and we're happy to answer questions. Let me find this one that's here now. Hold on.
Yeah, and we're still waiting for limericks too. So we'll take limericks, poems, even rap songs.
Yeah, especially rap songs.
Yeah.
All right, so here's the call we got.
Hi, I'm calling to leave a suggestion for a podcast. I was wondering if you guys would be willing to discuss how to create pages and what happens with that, like how can you organize those pages once they are created. I'm pretty new at the whole Drupal thing, so it wasn't entirely clear to me. Once they were created, where I can access them again and how I can arrange them throughout the site. And I've enjoyed the previous podcast and the video cast, so thanks a lot. Bye.
So, this question touches on a whole bunch of different aspects of Drupal. It sort of touches on theming a little bit, but mostly it sort of touches on the sort of the node system and sort of what is a page in Drupal. Right?
Yeah, sort of the out-of-the-box experience, you know. I imagine some people come to the site with the intention they just want to create, you know, a simple page-by-page sort of website, and you start creating content, and then your front page is you know, just little subsections of all the pages that you want to be individual pages, and it's probably a little daunting at first.
Yeah. I think for new user, I mean, experienced Drupal developers and tend to look at the page and they see blocks and then they see nodes and they see content and titles and teasers and body items and menu navigational stuff. But I think that's a thing that new users don't see. Well, new administrators don't see. And I think it's sort of important to kind of outline what those different things are and sort of what makes up a page in Drupal and how things can be organized. Do you want to take a crack at that at all, Matt?
Well, yeah. I think... you know, the promoting to front page thing where when you create new content and then you get these streams of pages or pieces of content on the front page, an easy way to take care of that is just to create one page and then go in and set the default front page setting to the item that you want to be the front page. And you can do that via administer settings. By default, it's node. And you can change that to, you know, node/1 or node/2, whatever that content is that you want to have on the front page. And then you can create a site navigation system. And you can do that watching the new video cast on how to set up navigation for your site so that you can have that sort of page-by-page look and feel for those simpler, less community-driven sites.
Right. So
I think that's what
so if you have a site sort of like that you don't want to look like a blog on the front page with a list of nodes, you could sort of like the Lullabot site, maybe you can create a node that defines your homepage stuff. You know, your intro, welcome to the site and blah, 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 blah. And then you go into the settings, right? And then you set that node, node/1 or node 6 or whatever it is, as your homepage. And then when people come to the site, they will see just that node and not a list of nodes. Doesn't that sort of render the promote to homepage checkbox? Basically, now it no longer has any meaning.
Yeah, it depends on how you want your content to flow. Another option is just to have one piece of content that's promoted to the front page. And then later, if you want to add more content to the front page, you can take advantage of that checkbox and, you know, start doing your flowing content again. What do you think, Jeff?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's also important to know, I mean, again, we try in this podcast to sort of talk to new users as much as possible. But, you know, if you're familiar with PHP, and particularly if you're familiar with Drupal, you can actually put PHP content into a node, and you can do some really powerful stuff with that. So if you were to create your homepage as actually a PHP node, then your homepage could actually contain listings of other things from throughout the site. You could use there's ways to tap into the views module stuff, or you know, taxonomy terms or stuff like that. And actually, you know, you could put an intro text and then actually have PHP call in some dynamic information on the page.
Yeah, have you ever used front page module?
No, I haven't.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, there's a couple that do that. There's the sections module and then front page module, I think, that allows you to basically sort of theme your home page. Well, sections module themes a section differently than the rest of the site. I tend to opt for actually doing it in the custom theme, because I prefer to build custom theme sites.
Yeah, but those might be options to look into, those modules for some people. Otherwise, yeah, you can just create a menu navigation system, you know, using menu module, create a new menu, and start building out the linking out the different pages on your site. The benefits of using the menu module is you get the breadcrumbs for free. It knows the active item that the user's on, so it colors that link a different color. It can do hierarchical menus, so you can have children items. So it can come in really handy. And, you know, that's built into Drupal. So.
Right. And it's important to also know that you can have those blocks, pretty much any blocks, you can define which pages on the site that they show up on. So if you wanted to have a navigation that only showed up on the homepage, you can easily do that. And then you could have other navigation that shows up on every page but the home page. Some pretty powerful stuff. And again, I think our purpose is just to kind of let people know that it can be done, and so they could know to sort of put it on their palette and figure out how to do it if they need to do it later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just want to point out real quickly that the workflow for that would be you'd create a menu, and that creates a block that you could turn on then. And then you can configure all those settings about where it should appear. But ultimately what happens then is when you create your pages, you'll see a new option in the creation form that allows you to specify a link entry for that into your menu system. So.
It's true.
I'm not lying. Well, what about, you mentioned the theming system a little bit. Some folks have asked us to talk about that as well. Maybe we can just give a little rundown of the changes in Drupal 4.7, any theme changes that have happened, and real quickly an idea of how theming works. You know, do you have to hack Drupal to get rid of the heading one tags, or how do you do it?
Yeah, let's do that. Well, I mean, first of all, I would say that thing that people seem to be sort of most excited about, and when I first came to Drupal, it was during sort of the 4.5, 4.6 transition, the PHP template engine was just coming into being, and people were really excited about that. And now it's actually a part of 4.7 core, and it's really powerful and strong. And I haven't even used the other template engines much, but there are some other really good ones out there that people use that range from sort of more techie,
pure PHP.
Pure PHP, right, exactly. So basically you're just doing everything in PHP to simpler stuff like Smarty that people may be familiar with, that where basically there's no PHP code in the node itself. But
it's
with
more
PHP,
designer friendly.
But with PHP template, you basically have it creates a bunch of variables that you can then use the PHP's print command or echo command, or there's other shortcut ways of doing it to print out onto your page. So you'd say it for a node, it should look like here's the title and here's the date and here's the author and here's the body of it, and you could put other stuff in there and stuff like that. And then you can also define on a page level what goes on the page and what goes where and stuff like that. And then from within that, you can, it also allows you to create node type specific themes. So by I think it's node-story.php or .tpl.php would define your story nodes and how they would print to the page. And so, for instance, again, on the Lullabot site, I think our page node types do not show our names, and our story ones show, or the page ones don't show the date, but the stories do. And neither of them show the author, but in the stories we use the bio module to link to our bios rather than linking to our user accounts, because ours it's not really a multi-user site. It's basically just a few of us that contribute to the site, and that's how we're using it, for instance, on the Lullabot site, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, it's just template files. That's the way PHP template works. It's just files. So you have a file for nodes that's HTML, and then with a little bit of PHP sprinkled in for insert title here or insert author here. And so we've had a couple people ask us about how theming works in Drupal. And I know once someone explained it to me, it was kind of a big aha moment. It meant that I could stop hacking core and do things in a more elegant way that was easier to maintain down the road. Jeff, you mind talking about that a little bit on how that works?
Well, these are the theme functions, right? I mean, basically, Drupal allows you. Drupal is designed to not be hacked. If you're hacking Drupal, chances are you're not doing something in the quote-unquote Drupal way, and it will usually end up biting you in the buttocks down the line, because Drupal will have some sort of a security update that everybody needs to install, and you won't be able to install it because you won't you'll lose all your hacks. So one thing to do,
and then you will get hacked.
Yeah. So one thing to do is to look for these theme functions in your modules. They start with theme underscore, and then they are the function. And these functions usually define HTML or something that this module developer has expected that you might want to hack, that you might want to change or manipulate in one way or another. And what you can do when you create your theme is in the template.php file. This is in the case of PHP template. I'm not quite sure. Again, I haven't used the other theme engines too much, so it may be the same. You can then create, but you basically just copy that theme function from the module that you wanted to modify and paste it into your template.php file in your theme folder in your theme directory and rewrite the function however you want it to output different text, to output HTML in a different way. You need to rename it to, in the case of PHP template, instead of theme underscore yada yada, it's PHP template underscore yada yada. And then
so you just change the function name in the template.php file?
Yeah. Yeah, basically. Cool. And then you can change the code. And then when the module goes to run that theme function, it runs it through Drupal's theme function, which checks in your theme to see if this function has been customized. And if not, it runs the local one in the module. But otherwise, your code will get run, and you can output different. You can output your menu items differently. You can output entire menus differently. Render things not as lists or as lists, or you know, all that kind of stuff. You can theme the links differently.
Yeah, that's awesome. An example of that might be like the breadcrumb system. Say you don't like the symbol that's the breadcrumb separator, the breadcrumb separator on your Drupal site. Say you want a vertical slash instead of the angle brackets. You can go and find the theme underscore breadcrumb function, copy that, paste it into your template.php file, change the name like Jeff said, and change the angle brackets to the pipe character, and you're done. And you know, you didn't have to hack core. And there's a real sense of satisfaction being able to know that you can do that, and that you can still, you know, have a clean site that's easy to upgrade. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my aha moment.
Yeah. That's this week's aha. Ah. In addition to PHP template, another change in 4.7 theming wise and sort of page layout wise is multiple regions. You want to talk a little bit about that, Matt?
Sure. In the previous version of Drupal, when you went and enabled blocks, you had just a couple places that you could place those blocks. It was that drop down that said it can be on the left sidebar or the right sidebar. And what we've done in 4.7, actually, I think it was Nejo Rogers that did that. He introduced the idea of creating arbitrary regions. So you can define a theme that declares a new region, such as a header or a content zone 1 or whatever you want to call it. And then blocks can be placed there, which is really cool. We use this on the Lullabot site. For the podcast page, we have a little help area that's at the top that gives you a little definition of how podcasts or what podcasts are. We just created a header region, and we placed a block in that region called, you know, podcast help. So it really gives you a chance
to
lay
out. And it's defined to just show up on that one page, right? Or
yeah,
a couple
yeah,
of pages yeah. related to the podcast. So it doesn't show up on every yeah. page. That's an example of blocks only showing up on a couple of pages.
Yeah. Yeah. And the beauty of this is that you can place content in it really increases the flexibility of the layout of your site.
Yeah. When I first came to Drupal, I felt really, excuse the pun, blocked in in 4.6, you basically just had the left or the right column for where you could put your blocks. You could assign them to the left region or the right left side or right side regions. And I felt like frustrated by this sort of definition of a three-column site was basically all sites would be three-column sites. And now basically you can have any kind of region anywhere. I mean, even at 4.6, what I came to find out was it didn't actually need to be on the left or the right. It could be the left and bottom or something. But now it can be basically anywhere, including at the bottom of the content, the node content itself. Or other places that you might not think of as so blocky, a block.
It's going to get harder and harder to tell which sites are running Drupal and which ones aren't.
That's
perfectly fine.
Yeah, you're going to have to look, open up the source and look for the drupal.css file, and then you'll know.
Goodbye, Blue Marine theme. It's been nice knowing you.
Well, all right. Let's just wrap up the podcast for this week and head off to Vancouver. And if you're going to Vancouver or you're already in Vancouver, we'll see you there. Come up and say hi. We'll be the guys with wearing the robots on our T-shirts or friends with them. and if you're not, stay tuned because we'll have lots of news and interviews and audio and video, hopefully from Vancouver. Meet some people and find out what they're doing and what's on the horizon and exciting for Drupal.
Yeah.
Cool.
It'll be fun.
Right on. Bye bye.
All right. Bye bye.